Amen. So Mike is up next. So Mike is going to go over some foolproof finances.
Amen. I'm going to use this. I want to use them.
You hear those kinds of things, amen? Yes. But before I get started, I think I just want to, you know, some of the things, you know, some of the resources. I think it's good to have resources. And one of the books was Foolproof Finances by David Malinoni. And it's this is what it looks like. It's a very good book. It's very well balanced. And I'd highly recommend it. That's what I'll be teaching from today. And some other books that I'm going to be talking about or maybe just mention is Acres of Diamonds by Russell Cornwell. I think Pastor John Rood read that book. It's a very interesting book, and I'm going to maybe quote out of it a little bit today. It's called Acres of Diamonds by Russell Cornwell. Acres of Diamonds. And Pastor John Rood, we was at lunch with him, and he was talking about this book. And I've read it several times, so it's a good book. And this is a secular book. It's called Getting Rich, and I found it at Meijer. And actually, for a secular book, it's very, very good. It's got good principles in here, and it's like the Cliff Notes of Getting Rich. So it's a real good book. It's called Complete Idiot's Guide to Getting Rich. But it's good. I read it. I was at Meijer, and I said, Stanley, I saw that at the checkout, and I started thumbing through it, and it's a really good book. And, of course, The Storehouse Principle, I think my brother, we brought that up. That's another good book to read. I've got a lot out of that. So that's a good book. And it's by Al Janal and Van Crouch. I got that up at the Bill Winston's Economic Summit when I was up there. It's a very good book. Right. I'm just going through these because I like to give people resources, stuff that I've went through and read and like that. And here's another one. This is a Word of Faith minister out of Arizona. It said, Becoming a Millionaire God's Way. And this is Scott Anderson's father. They have a big church out in Arizona. The book you have right now is his son. But his dad wrote Becoming a Millionaire God's Way, and he talks about a lot of different things that Scott doesn't talk about. But this is another good book to read. And, of course, Pastor Bill Winston, Transform Your Thinking. That's an excellent book to read. I read that several times. And really, we could teach on this for 2 or 3 hours about your thinking, because that's important. But that's a good book to read. And one of the secular things that I look at, too, to get value out of my purchases, Consumer Reports. That's really inexpensive, and what you can save, the products you buy, that's a good magazine to get. And the next book I'm going to read is by Perry Stone. It's called Breaking the Jewish Code. It says 12 Secrets That Will Transform Your Life, Family, Health, and Finances. Looks like a real good book. And he's an expert on Jewish tradition and like that. But I looked at this book and I thought, man, this looks good, and I'm going to read that. So I just love reading. I love to read. But you have to put it into action, right? You can't read all this stuff and have all this knowledge and not put it into action. It's not worth anything. But you know, as you know, it was excellent what Matt was talking about, what Bridget was talking about, what Pastor Mitch was talking about. We need to promote the kingdom of God, and that is the primary key. You know, a lot of times we just look, and I think, and this class or this seminar is not about how to, sure, I'm going to talk about how to pay off your house. I'm going to talk about how to purchase a car. I'm going to talk about getting value out of some of your things. But if you're only here for that, you're not in the right seminar. We are here to further the kingdom of God. That's the primary goal. And Miles Monroe said this, in God's calculation of life, one equals many, little equals much, small equals great, and less equals more. And I don't care where you're at in your station of life, whether you're 18 or 16, or whether you're 85, God looks at that and says, I will take you from where you're at to where you want to be, where your purpose is. Amen? And we have all kinds of resources. Some of you are sitting there thinking, well, you haven't seen my checkbook lately. But we have all kinds of resources. We have spiritual, physical, material, our mind and our time. And we're going to be talking about some of these things, mainly hitting the, well, I'll be mainly hitting the spiritual, physical, and material. But like I said, on the mind and the time, we could have another seminar on that, on finances. And it covered 2 or 3 hours or something like that. So let's get started on this. Let's see if I can work this. Miles Monroe said this again. I'm going to give him some quotes. He said, God will not entrust you with more resources than to use wisely what He's already given you. And he goes on to say, he says, poverty is not a gift from God, but the result of your actions. He said, the degree of wealth or poverty in which you find yourself is a large extent related to the way you are using what you have. And you know, the church today, prosperity or increase is a very controversial topic. And most people think that having, being impoverished is a way to be humble. But you know what that is? That's false humility. The church needs today to be prosperous. We don't need to be poor. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible, I looked this up, the Bible, and many of you already know some of these statistics, it has over 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but over 200 verses on money and possessions. 2,000, I'm sorry. And Billy Graham said this, he said, there is nothing wrong with men possessing riches. The wrong comes when riches possess men. Right? I was reading a book by an economist. His name is Larry Bates, and I think he's a professor. He's taught at the University of Tennessee. Pastor, is that your alma mater? But he said this, and I was reading his book, and some of the stuff but I didn't agree with, but some of the stuff he said was interesting. He said this, I believe that God is raising a generation of Josephs to this end time to transfer of wealth. He said, I believe these Josephs will be used of God to minister to and help prepare the bride of the Lord for the Lord's return. And I think what has happened back in the Old Testament is going to come to pass in the future. And I think there's going to be a transfer of wealth that only a few people are going to grab hold of this. People like yourself that are at this seminar. All these other people out here, I don't know if they're going to grab a hold of this because they're not in this seminar, right? You are. You know, and a lot of people, you know, there's going to be a huge exchange of money in these last days. Like just recently, a lot of the guys at work lost over 50% of their retirement on the stock market crash. 50%. So if their account was like $100,000, they're now only worth $50,000. The transfer of wealth is taking place right now, and we need to be in a position to receive it so we can promote the gospel. Now, a lot of things happens, and it says here, money flows to some people and away from others. And the basis of that is in Mark 4:25. It says, for to him who has will more be given, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. So, you're either receiving money or money's flowing from you. Which is it? I want it flowing toward me in a greater amount. I don't want it flowing away from me. You know, Pastor Bill Wilson, and I got this here on this, said that what affects my finances is not so much decisions made at the White House as ones made at my house. I hear people, and I've talked to people, they get into this politics and somehow we get into a world discussion and somehow or another that it's the White House problem, the President's problem, it's Congress' problem, or somehow we get into a world discussion and it's never my problem. No ownership or responsibility. But you know, and as Pastor Bill Wisden, I think you've heard this story about he went to a dealership and this guy goes, Pastor Bill said, how's things going? He says, well, not too good. And he goes, oh, what's the matter? He said, you having some problems? He goes, well, he said, it's the president. He went on about talking about the president and how the president's doing this and how the president's doing this and all these decisions. And Pastor Bill Wilson said, wait a second. It's not him. It's you. You need to sit down and look at what you're doing. What are you doing? And people, and this is the thing about responsibility, Matt and Bridget are putting the thing. A lot of people like to look at what other people are doing, and that's the reason I'm the way I am. No. You have to take responsibility. You. Not the other person. What are you doing? right? So we need to take responsibility. And we can, sure, things are going on in our country and the government. Pastor Mitch talked about that over July the 4th. But we ourselves have to take our own responsibility for these things. Kingdom truth. These are the sister scriptures to Mark 4:25. If you want to look those up, I just gave those as references. And if you want to translate that, it says the person who has something will get more, and the person who lacks will lose the little he or she already has. God rewards those who gain and use resources. Now, here's what socialism, how they defined it. And this is what's going on today. It says the person who has something shouldn't get any more because he already has enough. The person who doesn't have anything shouldn't get something because, as the Lord knows, he needs it. So it's just opposite. The person who doesn't have anything should get something because, as the Lord knows, he needs it. It's just the opposite. What's going on, what's being preached in the world today is opposite of what the Bible's preaching. If you're responsible for little things, God's going to make you responsible for greater things. This is not a system of welfare. We're not on a government program, right? We're on a program that is showing productivity. God gives us, there's incentives put in place. The government doesn't do that. So we need to look at things. We need to look at what's causing maybe our prosperity not, or our increase not to happen. And in Haggai 1:5 and 1:6, it says this. It says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you. You have so much, but you have reaped little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you do not have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in it." How many feel like sometimes you have holes in your checking account? And here's what that looks like. Right? But a lot of times we'll look at ourselves and say, I'm giving, but I don't see any increase. Right? We've been there. I've done that. Here I am giving, and I'm not seeing any increase. Now, there's a variety of reasons for that. And we're going to address some of those reasons. But it's not God's fault. And so we need to fix the holes in our bag. And we have to be faithful in the little. And what, like Bridget and Matt were talking about, is some character things. And you know one thing, you know, people, I think Oprah, she gave one time, I clicked on that show, and she gave someone, I think he was on the street, and she gave him like $200,000. And this was a homeless person, okay? And this homeless person, within 6 months, I think, lost that whole $200,000. Just, they didn't know what to do with it. And there's reasons for that. But having money, if you take money and I give you $1 million and you have some bad character flaws, you know what that's going to do? It's going to magnify those flaws. It's not going to, you won't know what to do with it. So here's some lists. This guy called it the list. Habits and actions to avoid. And you know, I could have put scriptures by all these, but these are all scriptural that come out of Proverbs. And you can look them all up. If you get the book, they're in pages 34, 35, and 36. But, you know, one of them I'll just pick out of here just randomly, overeating. I knew that would be it. People would ask. But, you know, overeating, the church jokes about overeating, but gluttony is a sin. And should be preached on, it's not really something you should joke about. That will stop your prosperity. I saw a woman that was eating $800 a week in groceries so she could be heavy. I thought, that's crazy. $800 a week? I couldn't even fathom that. And even too, you know, when you don't operate, the Bible, if you don't operate in faith, that's sin. So if you're operating without faith, you're in sin. So how are you going to be prosperous? But these are habits, and the list, these are spiritual and moral actions that Proverbs puts out. But we need to be cognizant of what these are. Okay? And refusing correction. That was one, two. Yes, Mitchell?
Why don't you take and read the verse out of those, like, let's see. Keep your faith in the hand. Do you have that scriptural reference to that?
Yeah, I'll have to find it. I was going to talk about refusing correction here, but...
go ahead, go to that refusing correction.
Yeah, I was going to talk... Okay, I'm going to talk about refusing correction here. It says, that's in Proverbs 13:18. And let me get my Bible here. Proverbs 13:18. Poverty and shame come to him who refuses instruction and correction, but he who heeds reproof is honored. And you know, Matt was talking about that. And you know, like, we all, in sometimes in our lives, we could have correction. And one of the things, too, you know, like the pastor, like Pastor Mitch, you know, if something's not right, he's going to correct you. I know that. And we have to be able to be correctable. And I think a lot of times, like Matt was talking about, you get offended. And you know what that offense is? It's pride. It really is. And we have to be, you know, I listened to some tapes by Brother Keith Moore about humility. And I think everybody should listen to those tapes. In fact, I need to listen to them again. And it's about pride and what false humility, what real humility is. And there are about, I think, what, three or six tapes. I forget how many. There are three tapes. But everybody needs to be humble enough to be correctable. I mean, if you're not, then you got an issue that you really is going to prevent your prosperity. You know? And there's things when you get a whole bunch of people with different personalities and different, all kinds of different things going on, different backgrounds, there's going to be times when the pastor is going to have to come in and say, look, I need you to do this and you need to stop maybe doing this. And you got to have a humble spirit and say, okay, I will stop doing this kind of thing, right? We all have to be correctable. And I don't want to ever stand before the Lord and as I'm standing there giving an account, and he said, well, why couldn't you take correction from your pastor? I said, well, because he's my younger brother, and I never took correction from him. I always beat him up. You know, I can't come up with those kinds of excuses. I need to be correctable. We all do. And that will stop your prosperity. Covering sins. Let's go to that one. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes his sins will obtain mercy. You know, like I said, certain sins are visible. Like if a person's overeating, that's a very visible sin. It's noticeable. But then there are sins that are not noticeable, right? And the best way to do it, and at least